Morning again. Today is Sunday, February 28th. It's not only the last Sunday of the month, it's the last day of the month. Two months into another year. Let's start with a word of prayer and then we'll catch up with where we were and get into some new material. All right, let's all bow together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to be here. Thankful for the privilege we have of being called your children. Help us also to understand the responsibility we have as your children to look like you, to think like you, to speak like you, to behave like you before the world so that because of our example, people might fall in love with who you are through our influence. We're thankful for the church that meets at this place. We're thankful for all those who are here. We hope and pray that we will benefit from reading, studying, thinking about your word, and especially so as we worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. We pray that you will be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to see everybody this morning. Everybody doing well? Good. Good. All right, we will just very, very quickly fly by what we started last week and round up at the end of it, and then we'll get into new material at the end of the class, at the end of the that overview. Our whole purpose is studying the early chapters of Genesis to see the principles that are built into the text. Just a reminder, we mentioned this repeatedly, but when we read through Genesis, nobody in the book of Genesis ever read the book of Genesis. Wasn't written that. Nobody from Adam through the last characters that we see presented, the 12 sons of Jacob or of Israel, they never read that text. It wasn't written until later by Moses, and the first readers were Moses' contemporaries, children of Israel coming out of Egypt, going through the Sinai wilderness, and then especially as we get towards the book of Deuteronomy, the last of those first five books, as we're about to get into the land of Canaan. And so everything that we see in Genesis is prehistory to the contemporary history that's going on at the time Moses is writing. And so because of that, it's written in a very unique style. It's written assuming that there's a lot of stuff that that early audience already knew. So it starts within the beginning. It doesn't have to explain who God is. It doesn't have to explain why God is. It doesn't have to explain everything about his nature. That was already part of their history by the time you get to the time of Moses. So we're trying to look back at that and understand all of the significant things that are revealed in the text that are reflective of principles, foundational principles and truths that determine who God is and what God wants of us. All right, so last time, we're going to go through this very quickly, is that sin impacted Adam and Eve, obviously, in Genesis chapter 3. They were removed from the Garden of Eden, and they were permanently shielded from returning to that. And their relationship with each other changed, and the relationship with God changed. But we also introduced last time what sin does to God. Our sin doesn't change God, but it does change our relationship to God. And so that's one of the things that we talked about last time. One of the things that's involved in coming back to God after having sinned is changing from God's perspective to be more like him than what we were when we chose to sin. And so those are principles that we address. Notice the key principles under five. God can't be in the presence of sin. God doesn't go out of the world or out of the universe, out of the creation, and remove himself. But the point is, the language of Scripture indicates that God doesn't condone sin, that God can't be in the presence of sin. The whole Levitical system was to show how sinful sin was and to show what we needed to do in order to be brought into God's presence, which always required God's sanctifying presence, God's holiness, and all of those things related to the sacrificial system. So God hates anything and everything related to sin, but he still loves people who do sin. Even though Cain sinned in the account of Genesis chapter 4, God was patient with him, said, listen, if this is the way you're going to go, you're going to end up being a servant of sin. But it doesn't have to be that way. We're summing up what we see in that context. All right. We also looked at ways in which we attempt to cover up and remove ourselves from sin. And anything that we do is always going to be inadequate. So some of the things we looked at, blaming others, Adam pointed Eve, Eve pointed the serpent, and so forth. We claimed to be better than others. We claimed to know what's right. We run away from God like Jonah did. We justify ourselves. We assume a relationship with God that we don't really have. We measure ourselves by ourselves, which means, you know, if I'm my own standard of righteousness, I'm always going to come out looking good. And so all of these things fail to really accomplish what God wants to accomplish. And that is an acknowledgement of sin and admission of sin and letting God cover us. So one of the things in the attempts that we just noted was Adam and Eve clothed themselves with fig leaves, but God clothed them with something that was much more permanent. And so God's ability to make sin go away is totally His. He's the one who can dispel sin. We can't do that. All right, so only God covers sin. These are things that we talked about last time. And that sin is ultimately covered, notice at the very beginning, through something innocent dying. Innocent animals died under the sacrificial system of the Old Testament law. And the innocent animals died in the covering of Adam and Eve after the first sin in Genesis chapter 3. And obviously an innocent being created in the image of God? No, being God, the Son went to the cross and died for us. And so there's a blood sacrifice that's introduced in the very beginning. So there's a connection between death and physical death and spiritual death that's brought out in this context. All right. So we noticed at the end of our session last time that only love covers sin. Now that doesn't mean just saying the word. But it means going to the furthest extent possible for the benefit of somebody else. That love is what God did when he sacrificed animals for Adam and Eve, and obviously when his son went to the cross. So God knows that we can't do that. The end of our lesson last time, we talked about the role of shame and conscience. Adam and Eve were made in the image of God. And being made in the image of God, they had a sense of the way God thought, a sense of the way God felt, that is, with reference to his emotions, so their thinking, their emotions, a sense of morality that should have been rooted in God, a sense of decision-making that should have been rooted in God, that we're only going to do what God wants us to do. And all of those things come together as to how they behaved. But they messed up, and they listened to somebody else, the serpent functioning under the aegis, the work of Satan, and he sold them a bill of goods that wasn't true. It wasn't right. It was denying everything that God said. He said, in effect, you'll be better if you do what I ask you to do, what I'm encouraging you to do. You'll be like God. You'll know what God knows. So it looks good. It's going to taste good. It's going to make you be more like God. But the text says after they sinned, their eyes were opened. Now that's interesting. They weren't blind before, and they weren't deaf before, but they didn't realize the total import of what God said. In the day that you eat of that, you will begin a process of dying. They didn't grasp that. It's kind of hard. If there was never anything that died before, and you talk about the possibility of something dying, you might look at somebody and say, what's that? Nothing died. Animal world didn't die. Nothing alive died in the early stages of the book of Genesis. The first death that we see is the death that was separation of God from man, or man from God, I should say. And beginning at that process, the physical deaths are going to be mentioned. So to explain something to somebody they've never witnessed before, we had some visitors from Indonesia visit the church in Philadelphia, and we were there years ago, and they heard of the word snow. They knew the word snow. They saw pictures of the word of snow. They saw videos of snow, but they never actually saw snow. And you might think, well, that's different. You know, how could that be? Well, they live in a part of the world where it doesn't snow. And so one of the most, and they were all here going to nursing school. There was the church, young ladies going to nursing school in the greater Philadelphia area. And they were absolutely excited when they actually, with their own eyes, saw snow. So snow was a reality that everybody else experienced, but wasn't something that they experienced. And so God spoke about the possibility of sin before sin ever occurred. But it wasn't real to Adam and Eve. Yeah, I heard God say, don't eat from that tree, and the day that you eat of it, this is what's going to happen. I hear those words. But having never experienced, it wasn't real. Well, now it's real. And so that's what it means. Their eyes are now open. They were open before, but they realized something that they did not see until they actually experienced it, and it wasn't a good thing. And so they became naked in the sense that they were exposed in a way that they had not been exposed before. And so naked is used with reference to physical and literal nakedness in that context. And it's an awareness that they violated something about God's nature. All right, they were created in God's image. They had the ability to think like God, act like God, feel like God, and so forth. But they changed. Now they knew something in a way they didn't know it before. They experienced it, and it wasn't the best for them. And so the lack of shame that sometimes we experience indicates that we're not what God wants us to be. Jeremiah speaks about a time when the children of Israel were so engaged in shame that nothing made them blush. Nothing made them blush. All right, so that's what we did last time. Questions or comments before we go any further? Yes, no, maybe. Everybody's here. I see heads moving, eyes blinking. Just wanting to make sure. Eddie, you doing all right, sir?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good to see you, sir.
Grandpa Eddie.
Grandpa Eddie? Are we supposed to call him Grandpa Eddie? Is that right? If you hadn't noticed, we have Bob and Marilyn with us this morning. We're glad to see them. Glad to see Sharon's here. Glad to see everybody's here, but we're glad to see everybody here. All right, let's get into new material. So we talked about the origin of sin, and Satan was responsible for it. But sin didn't occur just because Satan wanted people to sin. You know, the possibility of it occurring, introduced in Genesis 2:17, doesn't mean it had to happen. But it happens when there was an immediate and a direct confrontation between the serpent functioning in the role of Satan here and Eve and then Adam. So the opening verses talk about the account of man's first sin. It's not the very first sin. Now, that's interesting. And I don't want to get into all the history of this. But in order for the serpent to have engaged Eve and then later Adam, there must have been something wrong that happened before. Obviously, the serpent is functioning as a representation of all that the devil is. But, and we're not going to go into all the discussion of this, but in passages in the New Testament, in 2 Peter, in the book of Jude, in the book of Revelation, all speak about sin that occurred in another place. And that sin that occurred in another place was in the heavenly realm. You might think, well, how could that happen? How could that possibly be? So let me introduce this in a very simple shorthand way.